Okay, while they're loading the presentation, because I have a tendency to go over, I want to say this is a much more complex set of issues and can really be examined in a short time available for a presentation. So I will go through what I consider some of the highlights of the aspects that need to be considered with the intent of following up with a much more detailed paper. Sure. Okay. Now, how do I make? Just click? Okay, oh, I have no relationship to any commercial interests. The purpose of this paper is to clarify our understanding of how disability prevalence is influenced by theoretical models, disciplinary definition, measurement purpose and process, and the data used. Although the simplicity of a single solution to these problems is appealing, the reality of the multiple policy perspectives and multiple disciplinary approaches that create disability research makes such a solution very unlikely. Rather, the answer lies in understanding how the multiple approaches to disability relate to each other in the whole construct and the limited representation of any one approach. The medical, functional, and social models are not so much conflicting approaches to studying disability, although they have been portrayed as such for quite some time, but they are different aspects of a complicated phenomena. Within appropriate specific contexts, they address many of the major questions or problems that occur. This paper briefly reviews theory, definition, unit of analysis, and purpose of research, and translation of concept to measure in order to develop a more integrated approach to diverse disciplinary findings. There have been a lot of models of disability proposed, but probably those which have figured most prominently and have been used most widely are these three. Nagy's from 1965, Verbrugge and Jett more recently in 1994, and the most recent, the International Classification of Health and Functioning, the ICF. Nagy's description of disability, and he never drew a model, was presented at the Conference on Sociological Theory, Research, and Rehabilitation held in Carmel, California in March 1965. It was a conference co-sponsored by the American Sociological Association and the U.S. Vocational Rehabilitation Administration, of which Mary E. Switzer was commissioner at the time. Nagy identified five concepts surrounding the phenomenon of disability. We only usually ever see four. He included the general sequence of events that leads to the disability experience, incorporating as well the behavioral patterns that are influenced by the type of condition experienced, the person's definition of the situation, which is greatly influenced by the definition of the situation by others, especially significant others, and that's the intervention, the definitions of others. Verbrugge and Jetty presented their model as a socio-medical model of disability that is based on the disablement process, identifying it as useful for epidemiological and clinical research. They described how chronic and acute conditions affect functioning, which Nagy had already described, and elaborated on the personal and environmental factors that can speed or slow disablement, identified here as the environmental demands and the personal capabilities. They indicated that disability is not a personal characteristic, but instead the gap between personal capability and the environmental demand. While there is much greater specific elaboration of domains of each element of the model in the ICF model compared to the others, the main conceptual elements remain generally the same. Health or pathology is an overarching context. Impairments are specified in the body function and structure section of the model in terms of the physiological functions of the various parts of the body and mind. The functioning of the whole person, as opposed to the individual parts like a leg or an arm or an eye, are identified with a different term, activity. Activity broadens the representation of the basic functioning of the individual into a more elaborated approach that includes not only individual actions such as walking and hearing, but also more complex activities like driving and acquiring goods and services. The disability element is focused more specifically on the participation or lack of participation in interpersonal interactions and relationships or major life activities. The intra or extra individual aspects, more specifically introduced by Verbrugge and Jetty, are captured in the environmental and personal elements, which are shown as possible intervening components. Besides the variety created by expanding models of disability, the topic is one that is addressed by a number of disciplines, from the medical field such as physical medicine, rehabilitation, and epidemiology, to social science disciplines such as sociology, psychology, and anthropology, to policy sciences such as political science, some areas of economics, and probably some areas of public health. I would like to briefly show how a disciplinary approach tends to capture only a portion of the basic model of disability. Model A, the first set of disciplinary approaches, and one definitely focused on the individual, originally came out of the medical disciplines and was focused on the relationship of impairment or condition to self-care independence. This literature is found in medical journals and rehabilitation journals starting in the 50s. Measurement is focused on the condition or impairment, heart disease or lower limb or sensory deficits, which are interpreted as a disability, and the outcome of most concern is self-care. The medical approach has broadened over the years, and we see the increase in the inclusion of environmental characteristics to help understand that part of the process. The medical disciplines, for the most part, approach the problems created by the conditions and impairments to develop methods for intervention to reduce the limiting effects. The outlines of this first discipline area of focus identifies the conceptual areas that generally serve as basis for measurements to examine the problems and relationships. That doesn't mean everybody in the medical area uses this section of the model, but for the most part, generally speaking, that's what you find. The second set of disciplinary approaches, which have been active for about as long as the medical approaches, focus on the social sciences, particularly sociology. A social science approach, while it might start with the person, is concerned about social structure and interpersonal interaction, and so the intra and extra individual factors take on a greater importance. The details of the conditions and impairments are less important to this group than the impact on the whole person and their functioning status, which is frequently viewed as the starting point of the measurement approach. Interestingly, in more recent years, some social scientists have stepped back and started their observation from the broader social perspective, structural perspective, observing the impact on the individual. Finally, the policy scientists address the issues of disability as they relate to governmental policies that have been developed to address some of the problems that disability can create. Research gets organized by examining a particular policy, such as Social Security disability insurance, and trying to predict who is eligible or trying to understand how changes in levels or types of impairments or functioning will impact the policy. So, for example, we have research focused on persons who are unable to work, or more recently, research addressing healthcare disparities in the public health arena to examine the effectiveness of the new healthcare law. The translation of a specific conceptual area from the disability model to measurement and choice of measures for analysis are crucial aspects of disability research and a significant source of prevalence differences. On one hand, the purposes of data collection create the choices made for representing disability in measurement. Sources include administrative data or national data sets. The purpose of disciplinary-based research may be mismatched with the purpose of the measures available on national data sets. National data are influenced not only by the extent of questions about the various conceptual areas of the model, but also by the context of the survey, is it a health survey or a labor survey, and the different forms of administration of the questions. The variety and prevalence rates are a natural outcome of that somewhat chaotic set of circumstances. I want to briefly talk about the variety of measurement sources in just one national data set, of course the one I'm familiar with. in order to demonstrate the significance of measurement to the analysis and interpretation of disability research. I will not be discussing conditions of impairment measures. They are probably best found in administrative data. I would also recommend that that the MEPS is probably the best source for condition impairment information, since respondents are asked the reason for seeing a doctor or medical personnel or facility. Just to create a background for the rest of the presentation, I will note that in a recent paper by Gully and Rash in Medical Care, they indicated that among working age persons, 52% report one or more chronic conditions. If the models are correct in that medical conditions and impairment lie behind all experiences of disability, we can assume that the population with chronic conditions or impairments provides the largest population prevalence associated with current models. basic actions of the whole person represent and I'm talking about the National Health Interview Survey, and there's two really general measures there. Basic actions, which represent the areas of functioning difficulty an individual can experience. The NHIS survey collects data on five different areas of functioning: mobility, seeing, hearing, cognition, and emotions. The 2010 data shown here indicates that 31.7% of the U.S. adult population indicate difficulty in one or more of these areas of functioning. It should also be noted that there are areas where individuals have functioning difficulty that are not captured in the NHIS, such as communication and learning disabilities, or just two examples. So the 31.7% and all have basic action problems, the largest being in movement difficulties, which is 26.3%. Complex activity measures reflect limitations that an individual experiences when they attempt to do things in their environmental context. In the NHIS, the areas measured are the inability to work or the limitation in the kind or amount of work that can be done, limitations in social participation and difficulties with self-care tasks, and activities necessary for independence. The 2010 data show that 15.3% of the adult population experienced limitations in complex activities, 9.2% have limits in social activities, 14.5% experience an inability to work or are limited in the kind or amount of work they can do, and 4.1% have difficulties in caring for themselves or maintaining independence, such as taking care of routine needs. I'm sorry I didn't separate the unable to work from the limited in kind or amount, because there are some very meaningful differences that occur with those two different measures, and when we combine them, we sort of we create difficulties in interpreting the outcome data. So we're starting. What is important to our prevalence estimate is to ascertain the relationship among various measures which represent the different conceptual areas of the model. That is one thing that contributes to our different prevalence rates. This slide represents all persons at risk of disability because of difficulties with the measurable basic actions. And there are 31.7%. When we add the combined complex activity measures to those identified with basic action difficulties, we note that the overlap is almost complete. Approximately 88.2% of persons with complex activities also report having basic action difficulties. There are 10.8% who indicate complex activity limitations but do not indicate they have a basic action difficulty. While some of this is probably measurement error, it can also represent areas of basic action difficulty we do not capture, such as communication difficulties, learning difficulties, and some mental health problems, and also some smaller groups of functioning problems. Finally, where do the American Community Survey questions fit in? The six disability questions now used in the American Community Survey are being developed into a standardized short set of questions to represent the population with serious levels of disability in the census and across other federal surveys for consistency when examining policy issues. The ACS questions identify 19.7% of the adult non-institutionalized population as disabled. The overlap with the basic action measure, which represents the population at risk of disability, and the complex activity limitation variables, which represent the population who experience limitations in participation, once again is remarkably consistent. 91% of those who answer the ACS questions positively also answer either one or both of the other question sets positively. Approximately 9% do not, and once again we have this problem with measurement error and the fact that we do miss some basic complex activity limitations. Exactly what the ACS questions capture in relationship to the other types of measurement is shown in this slide. They capture 54.7% of persons who report movement difficulties. And I do want to make a note here that this is related to the fact that the question asks about serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs. And so it seems to differentiate between those with serious movement problems from those with less serious movement. A table that I am not showing indicates that those at the higher level of seriousness of movement, the two highest levels, about approximately 88% of them are captured by the ACS questions. Additionally, the ACS captures 58.7% of those with vision difficulty, 75.1% of those with hearing difficulty, 60.8% of those with emotional difficulty, and 93.6% of those with cognitive difficulty. In addition, they capture 94.4% of those with self-care limitations, 81% of those with social participation limitations, and 78% of those unable or limited in kind or amount of work, and that the difference between unable and limited comes into effect here. So in conclusion, the theoretical models has been elaborated extensively over the years, but the basic conceptual elements have not really changed. Definitions of terminology, however, have evolved. Disciplinary research focuses on different conceptual areas of the model, almost to the exclusion of the other areas, giving the impression of different models. The results represent the conceptual area chosen, not the full picture. Measurement based on different conceptual areas are favored by different disciplinary approaches, obviously. All represent some aspect of the process. Measures of basic actions that are required to navigate life identify the broadest population at risk to experience disability. Addition of other measures of functioning not currently captured is really necessary. The ACS questions appear to provide a good short form representation of a more seriously limited population. None of the current national survey questions adequately capture environmental aspects. From my perspective, the disciplinary focused research is essential to informing any number of problem areas. However, a full understanding of the disablement process requires that researchers and the audience be aware of the specific research fits, or be aware of how the specific research fits into the bigger picture. Thank you.